1 Samuel chapter 22, today I want to highlight three names in this chapter. The first name is in verse 3, where David speaks. He says, "Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me." That's the first name, God. What God will do for David. That's a blessed name, and it's been long in David's life. But the next names are two names that are coming into David's life for the first time. Verse 5, the prophet Gad said unto David. So there's God who is going to do for David. There's Gad who is speaking unto David. And then in verse 20, we read that Abiathar escaped and fled after David. So, God for David, Gad to David, Abiathar after David. These three names in the life of the anointed of the Lord. Now in this chapter, David expresses his confidence in God. Even though he's in a cave and in a dark place and getting it difficult, he says in verse 3 that God will do for me. He's confident of the Lord. He's going to work towards me his marvelous providence. I'll ask the Lord and I'll trust the Lord to do for me great things. Well, what did the Lord do for David? Till I know what he'll do for me. What did the Lord do for David? Well, that's a big subject. And we really have to read the whole books ahead to find that out. And I suggest that's a wee project for you. Get a blank sheet of paper. Write above it the things that God did for David. It'll be a long list. And we can't go into all of that today. And years later, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, he says, "For thy word's sake and according to thine heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them." He nearly seems to be thinking of what he said to Moab. And years later he says, "You've done all these great things to make thy servant know them. You've made me to know." So he's telling God, "You've given me a great list of the things you've done for me. All these great things. Now I know all the things that you've done for me, that I could only begin to guess at whenever I spoke to the king of Moab." We read in the psalm, "The Lord hath done great things for us." So this practical suggestion then about the study of this book, the things the Lord has done for David. But I suggest also it can become an even more practical project for ourselves, that you yourself could get a blank sheet of paper and write on the top of it, "The things the Lord has done for me." And that'll be a well-packed sheet too. I especially suggest that if you're discouraged and cast down and in a cave and it's dark and bleak and you're going through trials, it will help you to see and to reflect upon what God has done for you in your life. The English preacher, Gypsy Smith, was visiting a friend one time, and in the visitation to his friend, he went with his friend to a nearby children's hospital. It was about 120 years ago, beautiful sunny day, and all the children had been brought outside, or those that were able to go outside went outside. And those who weren't able to go outside, they were carried out in their beds, and everybody was outside in their poor health under the sun. And Mr. Smith addressed the children. He didn't give a long word, just a brief word or two. And then his friend said, "Would you like to sing for Mr. Smith?" And a wee girl shouted out, says, "Yes, we'd like to do that." And whenever he asked, "What will you sing?" they said, "Count your blessings." And so they sung that hymn that Johnson Oatman had written about 20 years before this event. "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And that hymn came with such blessing to Gypsy Smith in a way that made a lasting impression on him, and he often sung it thereafter. And Mr. Smith, in his autobiography, wrote, "Immediately I was deeply touched and impressed. Here was I in full enjoyment of health and of many priceless benefits of God. Yet I had never counted my blessings. It had never occurred to me so to do. I felt sure that thousands of others had been guilty of the same omission. Many of us, alas, are never so happy as when we are talking about our miseries. The sweet song fastened itself upon my heart and soul." Well, at this juncture of David's life, as he begins to write down the blessings, what would he write down? Well, he would write down two names that have just come into his life for a start, because this is among the first blessings that God is doing to him. Well, till I know what God will do to me. And here's the two immediate things that take place. Gad and Abiathar as well, brought into his life by God. And so in that list of blessing that I suggest you write out yourself, you're putting the things down, many of the things in that list will be names. There'll be people. There'll be individuals that God has brought into your life. You'll have a lot of names in that list. And of course, congregation, we have to say what name will be at the top. What name's going to be at the top? God. We have to begin with God's name. You have the Lord. You have the name of the Lord upon you. You've been baptized in the name. You have the Lord's name to put at the top. He has to be at the top, because the greatest blessing is to have the fountain of blessing himself, the Lord. And if you can't put God at the top, you might as well stop starting to count your blessings, because you really don't have any blessings. It'll all be in judgment against you if you haven't got the Lord at the top. And so in this chapter, David puts God at the top. "Till I know what God will do for me." There's where he begins. He writes at the top, "What God will do for me." He begins with the name of God, the top of the list. So David writes that first, and then he will list the rest: Gad, Abiathar, and so on. All of them are blessings from God. God at the top, and all the little arrows and channels going out, and everything else beneath that. As the hymn puts it, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. It's all come from him. So David's chiefest blessing is that he has the Lord. The Lord is with him. We saw that in one of the earlier chapters. Whenever this persecution commenced, the Holy Spirit constantly reminded us the Lord was with him. And so he was. And time again, David is reminding himself of this. He's always writing out these psalms, and in very many of these psalms, he's always reminding himself that he has the Lord. And what I'm saying is, child of God, you have too. You've the Lord. I know that you're tempted to be taken up with your troubles. You're tempted to be taken up with the persecutors. You're tempted to be taken up with the Saul. You're tempted to be taken up with Doeg. You're tempted to be taken up with the cave and with the darkness of it and the wanderings, the hard wanderings in the wilderness. You're tempted to be taken up with all of that. But you have to remind yourself that you have the Lord. You have the Lord in all of it. You've sought him. You have come to Christ. You have believed on his name and you pray and seek his face. You have the greatest blessing of all in having the Lord. So you have to do what David does in all these trying circumstances that he finds himself. He remembers he has the Lord. As we sung this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. You see how he started the psalm? He talked about all the things he has, the full table, the meadows, the green grass, and all this and that and the other. But he begins with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the source of the blessing. He begins with God. He puts the Lord's name at the top of the page. And he does this very often throughout many of the Psalms. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. He's mine. I have the Lord. The Lord is my light and salvation. Psalm 21, I have the Lord. Do you see how he starts every poem with this greatest of all blessings that he possesses, the Lord himself. The Lord's name is first in David's life. Child of God, get taken up with the Lord. Not with your enemies. Not with the problems and the trials. But get taken up with your Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Thou art my portion, O Lord. So on this imagined paper in our journal, we write God at the top. This great chief blessing. He's mine. He's the source of the ocean of blessing. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see where the source of the blessings is? God and his Son Jesus Christ, all the spiritual blessings, the source at the top of the page. I am his. He is mine. This is first. You often hear the doxology in Protestant churches. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that's another thing about the name of God. On this imagined paper, you don't just write God. You've also to write the three persons. You have to remember that he is a living essence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three in one, the one in three. So you can't forget you're a Christian. And the name that you have been baptized in is the one name, but it's the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so you have to write three names. Three persons that you have fellowship with in the gospel. The sacred three, the Holy Trinity. And so we write Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father who loves you with an everlasting love and sent his Son for you. You have him and you have his Son too, Jesus Christ, begotten of the Father in the fullness of time, took human nature, bone and sinew, becoming man, body and soul, to be with us as our kinsman redeemer, who dies for us on the cross and purchases us with his precious blood. You have him, you're the Son of God, and you have the Holy Spirit, proceeding from the Father and given by the Saviour to us to be with us until the return of Christ and the end of the ages. So you write three names, and beside the Son's name, you write the cross. Incarnation, atonement. You have that. A Saviour who died for you, who has redeemed you and reconciled you to God through his death. And after these names, we can write other names now. That this triune God in his goodness has brought into our lives. And those names will be many. Some of them will be names of people deceased. Many have gone on who have been such a blessing to us. We can write names, some like our parents who bore us and raised us up. Some like our spouse who bore with us all our days and loved us to the end. We could add grandparents perhaps, teachers in school, ministers of the gospel, dear friends, perhaps now with God. Some names will be those who are still living. Ones in your life who have meant so much to you, who while you're in the cave have been not too far away with you, helping you. And for David, and that's where we come to now, these two men. For David, that's Gad and Abiathar. These men have come into David's life at the right time. Gad is a prophet. Abiathar is a priest. Prophet and priest have come into his life. These two men are part of what God is doing for David. And these two men are symbols of the greatest blessings that God can give us through Christ. These two men brought into David's life such benefit and help. And I want to think about that. It's quite amazing, actually. We've looked at all the men that he's run to. He ran to Jonathan. They split up at the end. It was disappointing. He ran to Ahimelech. He didn't get a whole lot. He got the bread of God, of course, and the sword, which was quite a bit. But from Ahimelech himself, as way of personal comfort, very little. And for Achish, all he got was nearly killed. But now in the cave, he stopped running to men. And now there's a change. God is bringing men to him. That's the best thing. You know, we can run and run and run and run after people to get them into the church, but the best thing is if God brings them in. That's the best thing. And the best people in your life will be the people that God brings into your life. And so we often run to men. We would be far better waiting for God to bring help to us. Gad comes first by the hand of God. And Gad, as I said, is a prophet. So he brings the word. That's what prophets do. They bring the word. They see the word. They see what God reveals of his mind and they proclaim that. So he's a man in his life who brings the word to him. Now we meet Gad on a number of occasions. This is the first time. We don't know where he come from. We don't know how he was made a prophet. But one thing is clear, God sent him. And God made him a prophet. Maybe he was trained by Samuel. Maybe Samuel sent him along to assist and aid David in his strife. We don't know for sure. But he certainly called Gad after the tribe. Maybe he was from that tribe, the tribe of Gad. So we know something about the name. We've met the name before. Leah said, a troop cometh, and called his name Gad. Now our translators use the word troop, a very unusual word. A troop comes with this name. The sense is, much is coming. Many more are coming. Plenty are coming. Leah has faith when she names him Gad. There's more on the way. We might say a fortune is coming. A multitude of blessings is coming. Gad. And this man is much in David's life. This man is like an army in David's life. A troop. This man is a source of blessings in his life. Have you ever known someone like that? Who's been a troop in your life? Who's been a mountain of blessing to you through God? It's a blessed thing to have a Gad in your life. So David's going to get much. He's going to get plenty. He's going to make a fortune through Gad. As I said, Gad is a prophet, a seer. Because the greatest fortune that can be brought to us is the Word of God, isn't it? The greatest blessing you have in this church is the Word of God being brought to you. Again, God's Word coming. When he got Gad, he got the Word of God. When he got Gad, he got direction. When he got Gad, he got to know the path he should be going. No more making these mistakes, as it were. He has the Word of God now in the prophet. David now has the light of the Word in his life. And we read immediately, he's getting that light. Verse 5, Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold anymore, depart, go into the land of Judah. David went. He had the word from the mouth of God, and he obeyed it too, and he went. So he has this blessing of the word in his life. We can think about God himself, the person who brings God's word, the person who preaches it, the person who opens it up onto us. Any church is blessed that has a God that can do that. And that church is much hampered if it is vacant and doesn't have a God. You have a God. You have the Word of God preached and proclaimed amongst you. You have the guidance of the instruction of the Holy Scriptures. And we can all think about gods in our life, the Sabbath school teachers, the Bible class leaders, the youth workers, the ministers who brought us the gospel and who saw us growing in grace somewhat. All these gods, are you writing them down? Are they being listed one by one, these names? But especially the Bible. This is a trip. This is God. You have to write that down too. You have the Bible. A faithful translation of it too. God's word has been given to you. A God in a dark place. A light, a wonderful thing. Abiathar then is the other name. Abiathar is a priest. And what's a priest about? Well, a priest is about approach to God, isn't it? By drawing near to God. Abiathar is identified with prayer, as God is identified with the Word of God. Both are great blessings in our life. Both are going to be heading up in the list here. I have the Word of God. I have the teachers of the Word of God. I have this business of prayer in my life. What a gift. What a blessing. Abiathar brings something. We read there in verse 10 concerning Ahimelech. Doeg accuses him of praying for David. Verse 10, he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. You see how he puts it at the start of the list here? He got bread, he got the sword, but at the start of the list, this is Doeg in all his darkness. He prayed for him. It might be a false accusation, actually. We don't read that he prayed for him. But Doeg puts it there at the start. He assumes that's what the priest is. That's what the priest is about. That's the very first thing the priest will do. We don't know that he did because Ahimelech was that frightened and scared to death that he maybe forgot to do that. And he denies that he did that, Ahimelech. But it's what he should have done. It's what the priest does. The priest prays for David. The priest intercedes for souls. And so when we think about Abiathar coming into our life, we're thinking about prayer. We can also think about the gift of prayer. You've been given the gift of prayer, people of God. You can pray yourself. In chapter 23, verse 6, you see Abiathar didn't come down empty-handed. When he came to David, we read in the next chapter what he brought with him. It came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David that he came down with an ephod in his hand. So Gad, he's coming down with the word of God in his hand kind of thing. Abiathar, he's coming down with the ephod in his hand.
the ability and the gift of prayer to God. That's such a blessing. That you can pray. That you have the ephod. Ephod. I have the ephod in Jesus Christ. I have access to God through Christ. I can pray in the darkest cave, in the most trying circumstances. Prayer. The blessing of prayer. The ear of God. You can write that down. I can cry to God. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And he is gracious and merciful, as we know. And we have his ear. We have prayer. Oh, what a blessing. Even if you can't write anything else after that. You've God and Abiathar. You've the word and you've prayer. You've the throne of grace and you've the Holy Scriptures. So there's a list started for you. Blessings in your life. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The cross work of your Savior, the Son of God. God's word. The word itself. And ones who bring God's word to you. And prayer. Prayer itself. And intercessors who pray for you. You can write that down. People who pray for me. The intercessors. The ones who care. Such blessing to have someone who prays for you. And of course, we're back to the name of Jesus Christ here, aren't we? The greatest intercessor of all, the ever-living intercessor who ever lives to pray for us. Brethren and sisters, what I'm saying is, let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged. The Lord loves us. And the Lord's given us so much. I've only written down a half a dozen things here. And yet how rich it all is. How good is God. And there's far more. There's an ocean of blessing. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are ours. In Christ. The story will never end. The books of the word won't be enough to write it all down in. The blessings that God has for his people. So let's praise him. And let's be more cheerful and joyful in him. And let's live and shine like people who are enjoying that. Lord, we ask thy blessing on the word. Bless this flock abundantly. May all heaven's richest treasures be poured out upon this church through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.